Almost 30 years ago now, I began my studies to become a Presbyterian minister at Knox College on the University of Toronto campus. It is a small college, only about 100 students, and so over the course of your 3 years together, you became a very tight-knit group of people. Some very deep friendships were forged, some very deep discussions of life and faith and of our hopes and dreams for ministry. I had one classmate with whom I became very close. He was a few years older than me, and many times long into the evening, and I confess that even into the wee small hours of the morning, we'd be together discussing issues of theology and philosophy, sharing our life story, solving the problems of the world and of the church. But over the course of our long conversations, one life issue kept arising for him, his stormy and difficult relationship with his father. His father had been born just about the turn of the last century. His dad was older than most dads, in his mid-40s before he was born. His father was a strict man, an old school preacher, stern, severe, and as my friend described him, joyless. The gospel he preached was also joyless and uncompromising. He preached of a judgmental God, of thunder and lightning and hellfire. Now, my friend had an older sister, and in the course of time, she became pregnant. She was unmarried and, as best I remember, also unsure as to whom the baby's father might be. The old preacher was furious and also deeply wounded. He put her immediately out of his house, did not speak to her again. After all, she had sinned shamefully, fallen short of God's glory, fallen short of her father's expectations. Surely his own sense of failure was as great as his anger. His grief real, but all of it hidden under the hard shell of his uncompromising theology. So the girl was on her own, did the best she could, must have found a place somewhere, maybe a home for unwed mothers or something. Eventually she gave birth to a child, and some days after that, long months later, in fact, she came home again in hopes of a reconciliation. She and her child stood at the door and knocked, hoping to find forgiveness and shelter under her father's roof. His wife, my friend's mother, answered the door when her daughter knocked, went in and told her husband, the old preacher, that his daughter had come home. He didn't speak, just turned his chair away from his wife, his back to the front door where the girl stood, weeping, cradling her baby. The preacher's wife, the girl's mother, went back to the door and took the child from her daughter's arms. She walked back into the room where the stern old preacher sat with his arms folded. She put the baby in his lap and she said, "This is your grandchild." Now it was the old preacher who was weeping. Took hold of the child and rocked it for a while, the tears streaming down his face, just rocking and crying. Now, I'd like to be able to tell you that that's where the story ended, a happy ending. The baby in that moment had changed everything, had melted the old man's heart, mended the poor family, so broken by anger and grief and shame, but it didn't. He rocked the baby for a while and gave the baby back. The baby changed nothing, not really. For a moment. But then the moment was gone. There were tears, but the tears didn't cleanse the wounds or soften the old man's hard heart. In fact, he remained to the end of his days as stern and severe as he'd ever been, refusing to welcome home his prodigal daughter. When he died, they were still estranged. The baby changed nothing, really. Now, that may seem like a peculiar story to tell on Christmas Eve, but you see, the story of the birth and reception of that child makes me think of the birth and reception of the Christ child born some 2,000 years ago. You see, here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if in the birth of Jesus, God was trying to put a baby into the lap of the world in the hope it would change us, a real change within us. Is God trying as well to put a baby into the lap of the church in the hopes that we'll not only shed a tear or two over the beauty of the angel's song, peace on earth, goodwill toward all God's children, but also that we'll begin to live into those words of hope and promise? That if we're holding within us anger or fear or shame, that when we embrace the Christ child, can let them go. Wouldn't it be wonderful if come December 26th, Christmas was not over, if Christmas was just beginning, that we ourselves were beginning or beginning again to be peaceful and peaceable, to demonstrate our goodwill toward all God's children and not just those who agree with us or those who stand with us. We can be so stern, most of us. But do not be afraid, the angel sang, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. Do you hear that? Do not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. God has given us a son, a child for all the people. God has put a baby into our lap in hopes we will be born or born again, not just in Bethlehem, but also in our hearts and lives, our thoughts, our politics, our giving, and our doing. God did and is doing amazing things in our world. And everyone is invited to hold the child. Old men and young men, old women and young women, common folk and royalty, red and yellow, black and white. The news is good news for everyone. And yes, there are crazy, murderous, nightmarish people loose in the world, but the Christmas stories are full to the brim with hope and peace and light, and the promise is that is a light that no darkness can overcome, that God has put us into a good universe, that God can be trusted. Unto us a child is born. And we'd best be careful. Careful not to drop the baby. For surely what God wants this Christmas is not merely a momentary show of tender emotions, a warm, fuzzy feeling, and the dropping of a few crocodile tears. In placing that child into our lap, what God desires is the melting of our hearts. Are embracing the hopes and dreams of the Christ child. And in so many beautiful words of Scripture, that dream has been spoken of throughout the history of our faith. That we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, that we will study war no more. The hungry shall be filled with good things. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Death is swallowed up in victory. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said over and over again to his disciples, don't be afraid. But I'm wondering if we're still afraid. I'm wondering if we've hardened our hearts against disappointment and the failure of others and of ourselves. Once again this Christmas, God puts a baby into our lap. And the dream of God is that we shall embrace that child, love that child. We will let him melt our hearts. We will begin to create the world he dreamed of. that Christmas won't be over on December 26th. That it will only have just begun. Let us pray. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all praise, honor, and glory, world without end. Amen.